You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, really excited about bringing Bubba up. You know, he's going to be in a bulk role, just like some of our other guys have, like what Ash did. Ashcraft will start the game on Friday, and Bubba will be in a bulk role in the pen. Really excited to add him to the team and see if he's going to have an opportunity to earn starts like all of our guys have, and just excited to add him and his stuff, and he's going to bring a lot to the ball club.
Fan Morning Show Twitter Pro brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement, TrustPJ.com. Thorn Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Cowles behind the glass. And that was manager Don Kelly talking about Bubba Chandler being called up to the bigs. Bubba Chandler being called up to the bigs. It's about time. We've been asking for Bubba Chandler for so long. All season long. Where's Bubba Chandler? When are we going to see Bubba Chandler? What's Bubba Chandler doing in AAA? What's Bubba Chandler doing here? Is he going to fit in this rotation? Could he be the number two pitcher? Can he be the number three pitcher? Can he be the number four pitcher? When are we going to see Bubba Chandler? Well, we're going to see him on Friday, I believe. That's what's rumored. I think that is maybe set in stone, Callis. We'll get to you, honestly, in a second because I want to get your thoughts on this. But I believe that he's going to be here Friday, right? He will be here Friday. But it's in a different role. A different role, I think, than people were anticipating. A long relief role for Bubba Chandler out of the bullpen. He will be a starting pitcher in the major leagues. He's been a starting pitcher in the minor leagues. But this is the role for Bubba Chandler to really get his feet wet, to get the experience that he's looking for and they're looking for out of him at the big league level. But my question is, you know, why now? Why wait so long? Why did it take so long for Bubba Chandler to get up here? And I know that he's had an up and down season in the minors, but he's one of your best prospects, one of the best prospects in baseball, pitching prospects too. It's not a little too late, but it also is a little too late. And they really were never in the fight. Like, I understand that. The Pirates never really had a chance from the start of the season. I mean, it's been an awful, awful, dreadful season. It has been. I mean, nothing went right this year. I mean, there's so many things that went wrong. And, you know, to me, this segment is not just about Bubba Chandler, but really to just put a bow, if you want to say a bow, or maybe, yeah, put a bow on this season because, you know, moving forward, you know, it's football season. We'll get into all that. And the Pirates are the Pirates right now. But this is a significant move for a guy that we have been waiting for, that a lot of us have been excited about, but it's going to be in a different capacity, a longer relief role. And I forget who tweeted it yesterday. Oh, man, it was an old school reporter. Was like, oh, the Pirates are taking, maybe it was Parado. It was the Pirates are taking an old school approach with Bubba Chandler and putting him in the bullpen to start him off in his career so he can get his feet wet. I mean, if you can get him reps and you can get him pitches and you can see what the stuff that he has in that role instead of just thrusting him in as a starter, okay, like that's cool, that's great. But you know, this season as a whole just was dreadful. It was dreadful. I mean, from even the outside things that happened, the outside stuff, the bricks, and just, oh, man, you could just, there was never really a chance. You never felt like they had a chance. They never gave themselves a chance. It's going to be interesting this offseason. I think this is going to be one of the most interesting off seasons in a long time for the Pirates, because you've had Paul Skeens about two times alluding to basically there needs to be changes and you need to spend money. You had Andrew McCutchen very, very recently basically say you need to spend money. I'm paraphrasing here. I'm not taking his exact quotes, but, you know, not calling out ownership, not calling out management, but saying, like, listen, in order for us to compete, we have to do the things necessary. And we can't rely on internal development. You can only do that whenever you have people to develop. And they really don't. Now, Bubba Chandler's one of those guys, and Connor Griffin is one of those guys. I understand that. But in order to compete at the major league level, you got to have real players. You got to have real players. And they just, and how many years has it been where they just kind of just look the other way? Look the other way. Oh, we're not going to pay this guy. Oh, we're not going to trade for this guy. It's just, it's nauseating. It is infuriating. And I'm not talking about myself. Like, I grew up in Pittsburgh. I've been to how many Pirate, 100 Pirate games in my life. But I'm not a true deep down Pirate fan that has seen the heyday of the Pirates and continues to watch the Pirates and just be upset every single night. I feel for you people. I feel for you. So, like, this season was, you're expecting to see some growth. You're expecting to see some type of a bright light to run to. There never was that at all. Now, Don Kelly, as a manager, he was thrust into a tough role. He was thrust into a tough role. Anybody who is the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates is in a tough position. I think we can honestly agree upon that. Do I believe that Don Kelly should be the manager of the squad next year? I do. I really do. I think for what was put on his table, for what he had to use to create the lineups that he did every day, I thought he did a pretty decent job, or is doing a pretty decent job. I don't know who could do better. I really, with what they have. It's just a shame of a season, really. Like, I mean, this is what we're excited about. He's in a longer relief role, Bubba Chandler. But, you know, I guess never, you know. I'm going to watch. I'm going to see what he has. Hopefully he could be in the mix next year. But just like this season as a whole, it's just, I really can't wrap my mind around having a guy like Paul Skeens and not wanting to give him every single asset possible to be successful, and giving yourself every asset possible to be a successful club. It's malpractice. It really is. So, like I said, this offseason is going to be very, very interesting to see the direction they go. And if they don't do anything, oh my goodness. If they have an offseason like they did last year, oh my God. You're literally slapping Paul Skeens right in the face. You're literally slapping, if Andrew McCutchen comes back, Andrew McCutchen right in the face. This city right in the face. Saying, we do not care. And that's a shame. Callis, your thoughts on Bubba Chandler being called up? His debut will be tomorrow.
It's strange. Well, yeah, because they're putting him in the bullpen role as well. Mm-hmm. Is what the reports say. So it's weird. It's a weird time to do that in a season that doesn't really matter, to put him in a bullpen role. Not a big fan of the move. I had a theory, though, and I talked about it on the early morning show, that maybe they wanted to bring him up now because they want to increase any trade value they may have for him in the offseason. Or they might be saying, like, hey, look, this guy's ready for the majors, so if we trade him to you, give us a boatload of bats back. The Pirates haven't done much that's made sense this season to me, though, so I don't know how confident I am that Ben Cherington can even execute any trades. There's no indication that he's going to be let go, so we have to assume that he's going to be the one controlling this offseason for the Pirates and structuring the team for 2026. So To me, it seems like the only logical thing I could think of is that they want to boost his trade value by just showing other teams that he is major league ready.
Sports Talk on a Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus. All season long, visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Do you think, man, how much money, if we were to guess right now, and maybe we'll keep track of this, and we'll include Crowley in on this tomorrow. Let's give a number that the Pirates will spend this offseason. Because what was it last year? Around $15 million?
Yeah, it wasn't a lot.
It wasn't a lot. The year before that was $35 million. Let's put a number on what we think the Pirates will actually spend with everything that we know this season, with everything that has gone down this season, with Paul Skenes, alluding to them needing to spend money, with Andrew McCutchen alluding to them spending money. How much real money realistically will they spend this offseason to try to suffice putting together a competent roster?
How much should they spend, or how much do I think they will
spend? How much do we think that they actually will? We know what they should. It's around $50 million. But how much will they actually spend?
Boy, I hope it's $65 million or higher. Yeah. I hope so. I mean, like, are we talking about like how much their payroll is going to be, or how much, like,
how much are they going to spend
on free agents?
On free agents.
I hope it's at least $25
million. You hope that it's $25
million. I hope.
How much do you think that they will?
20.
20?
They can't. Look, and I'm thinking about this too, like, from a realistic perspective, and I know, like, maybe they would try to spend around that amount. You can't. You cannot spend less than $20 million on free agents this offseason. You can't. I say $25 million is a good ballpark number because you want to be able to commit to more offensive pieces. Because you've seen how historic the pitching can be.
Mm-hmm.
And how historic the pitching has been this season for the Pirates. It's the offense that's the problem. You cannot possibly be pedestrian this offseason again. Like, you can't. So if I had to make a prediction, I would think Ben Cherington would figure it out and get it done this offseason. I mean, I can't see any other way that he keeps his job. I can't see any other way that the Pirates actually win games without them spending at least that much. $25 million. Give me a little more money invested in offense.
Mm-hmm. And not analytics, where we heard that money was spent this past offseason.
Research and development. Like, yeah. They could spend $15 million again or less or around that amount, but, like, and it wouldn't surprise me if they did that. It's just, like, what are we trying to do here?
Right.
Is the thing. Like,
exactly.
It's not that strategy of developing pitching at the expense of not tenuring any, offensive help has not yielded winning results.
No.
The Pirates have regressed this season.
Oh, my gosh, it's a shame. I mean, even firing Shelton, I mean, we kind of forget about that. I've talked about Don Kelly, and I think he should be back next year. I think he is a good manager. But, I mean, you fired your manager. There's so many things that went on this season that was just ridiculous. So I'm going to give the number of, you say $25 million, I'm going to say that they spend $18 million. Mm. I think they spend $18 million this year, and they try to make it look like that they're trying to spend money, but they just couldn't make it happen. I don't think it's going to be that. I feel like we're going to be very underwhelmed again. I really do, especially if Cherington is back. But Bubba Chandler, that is something, I guess, to be excited for. I'm going to watch on Friday. He will be in a long relief role out of the bullpen. He will ultimately be a starter, but I'm interested to see what stuff he has. I really am. So hopefully, as bad as it is right now, hopefully he can show something that is significant and we can be happy about if we're Pirate fans moving forward. All right, coming up next, there's a connection in sports that is just like no other. It's like no other. And once you get on the same page and you have that connection, you feel like you can conquer anything. And there's somebody that has had connections like that before, and he was on his own podcast talking about the current connection Makes me very excited because I know exactly what he's talking about. We'll hear from him.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next, Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Thorne Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Callis with you behind the glass. Fan Morning Show. Pat Bostick joins us at 7 a.m. Talking earlier about the connections, and there's a big connection in football that it's unbelievable. You can go back to, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. I mean, Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Steve Young. So many connections with the receiver and quarterback that we've seen over the years. Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown. I mean, even Tom Brady. Wes Welker, that connection is so big in football. And whenever you have that down, you know that you can hang your hat on something. You know that you can hang your hat on that connection, that quarterback-receiver connection, and you could do special things. And Ben Roethlisberger on his footballing podcast, he was talking about the connection between Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf and how potentially lethal it could be.
I'm feeding y'all this, okay, Steeler Nation family? I am giving you guys all this why to be excited and why this is going to be like those two could go crazy. And Aaron's had some great receivers, don't get me wrong, but he hasn't had to do like this either. I'm watching them at practice and it wasn't all perfect. They're still working through things, you know, and it may take a little while. It may take a couple of weeks to get going because they're still, you know, you got to get, they're probably not gonna play in the preseason this week either.
Sure.
So it's going to take a few weeks potentially. I mean, you're going to see some flashes. You're going to see some great things. Okay. So let me tell you this, when they get going,
really,
I'm telling you, it's going to be something special, okay?
And this goes back for a while, and especially with this, you know, this direct connection. And I believe whenever you acquire a receiver like DK Metcalf, who's one of the best receivers in the game, most dominant receivers in the game, you trade for him, and then you give him a new contract. I guarantee his first question is, who's throwing me the football? And not that DK Metcalf really had a choice where he was going to go, but whenever you get traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers and you look at the quarterback situation and you realize that two quarterbacks are free agents, you're like, who in the hell is throwing me the football? Yeah, $150 million contract. That is unbelievable. That's life-changing. But I want to know who's throwing me the ball. And I guarantee you, I don't have any inside information on this, but I guarantee you, as soon as DK Metcalf was traded to the Steelers, and he asked that question, they told him, Aaron Rodgers. And he's like, okay, let's do this. Let's do this. And this is way before Aaron Rodgers ever signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was floated out there that Aaron Rodgers was potentially going to be the Steelers quarterback at the time when DK Metcalf got traded. But I guarantee you DK Metcalf knew that Aaron Rodgers was coming the whole entire time. And then I believe like a month or a month and a half later, you saw the videos of DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers working out in California. They started this relationship months and months ago. Ben Roethlisberger is absolutely right. Whenever Aaron Rodgers is in a pinch, he can find DK Metcalf. Whenever he needs to convert a third down, he can find DK Metcalf. If they're in the red zone and he needs to score a touchdown, he can find DK Metcalf. And that's why they were roommates together, obviously, up in training camp. This is something that could be special. This is something that could be special. With the way that Aaron Rodgers can still throw, with the way that Aaron Rodgers can still process the game, with how explosive and dynamic and big and physical and dominating DK Metcalf is, those two can take over games. And that's what I said before. Like, that's the reason why I believe that Aaron Rodgers is going to have a good season. And why that he is that much better than Mason Rudolph, for those people out there that think that Mason Rudolph is just could be just as good as Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is going to be asked to win a few football games this year by himself. And I think he is capable of doing that. He's not capable of winning every game by himself, but he is going to be capable of winning a few games for the Pittsburgh Steelers by himself. And with DK Metcalf, that's only going to help that cause. I don't believe that Mason Rudolph is capable of doing that. Not saying Mason Rudolph is bad. But I think that if Aaron Rodgers gets going and he's in sync and he's feeling it, and DK Metcalf is on the right or left side of him, those two can take over football games. We see it week in and week out in the NFL. Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow. I mean, even Tyreek Hill and Tua at times. There's so many 1-2 punches. Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts. It's very important to have that big-time number one receiver, but it's even bigger to have that connection. And I believe that they started that process months ago, before Aaron Rodgers was even a Pittsburgh Steeler. That's very significant to me. Now, everything's going to have to align. I understand that. Everything is going to have to align for the Pittsburgh Steelers in order for them to be competent or even competitive this year, and especially in the playoffs. But I don't know if you can ask for a better situation, realistically, than having Aaron Rodgers, who can still throw the football, who can still process the game at the highest level, and DK Metcalf, who is a big play receiver. I don't know if you could ask for a better situation to have on your offense. I'm excited. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but I know how these things work. I know how those connections work. And if they can get going early, it's going to be significant. They do not need preseason. So don't even go there. We'll talk about that next, the whole preseason and who's going to play, who's not going to play, who Mike Tomlin thinks is going to play, might play, you know, what guys might suit up, what guys might not. We'll talk about that next. But this connection is something to pay attention to, because it started months and months and months ago before Aaron Rodgers ever stepped foot in the Pittsburgh Steelers facility. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see what those two can do. I'm excited to see what DK Metcalf can do this year. He's going to need help for sure, but there's going to be times where they're in a pinch and they need to get 7 yards on a third down to continue a drive to head into the red zone, and DK Metcalf is going to get open and Aaron Rodgers is going to find him and put a rate on his numbers. That's something we haven't seen in a long time here in Pittsburgh. A long time. And it doesn't even matter what route it is. It could be over the middle, it could be outside, it could be a hitch route, it could be a slant route, it could be a dig route, it doesn't matter. They'll be able to find each other and be on the same page and understand what each other is going to do and what each other wants to do. Fantastic blurb there by Ben Roethlisberger, because I totally agree. I'm very excited about those two working together and how they can enhance this Pittsburgh Steelers offense. Really, really excited about it. Now, you're going to need to protect. I understand that. A lot of things are going to have to align, but I'm excited about those two going out there against the Jets and lighting it up. Coming up next, we shall talk about who should play, who will play, and who won't play tonight in the preseason game, the final preseason game of the Pittsburgh Steelers. We will talk about that coming up next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantex Live brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Dickerson, Kalas, here with you on the Fan Morning Show. Pat Bostic joins us at 7 a.m. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. All right, preseason final game tonight against the Carolina Panthers. Only three preseason games now. You guys know that. Used to be four preseason games. Now, the big question is, will some of the starters play? Mike Tomlin spoke a couple days ago about maybe some of the guys playing in this game. He excluded Aaron Rodgers, TJ Watt, Cam Hayward, and DK Metcalf. Those are the four guys he named that absolutely won't play. And basically, he said that everybody else was on the table and could possibly play. That means Jalen Ramsey, Darius Slay, Joey Porter Jr., Jalen Warren, Pat Freiermuth, Jonnu Smith. Those guys he alluded to could potentially play, and I'm here to tell you that those guys are not going to play. I'm here to tell you that. That's my hunch. That's my, from my knowledge, that those guys are not going to play. I think Mike Tomlin said that. And he probably told his team that in team meeting to get those guys mentally prepared like they're going to play. To get those guys mentally ready to suit up and act like they're simulating playing a football game, but they're not actually going to play. What's the point? What's the point? You already know that the Carolina Panthers are not going to play their starters. Now, everybody, Austin Bechtold has been saying, oh, Aaron Rodgers needs to play in the preseason. Get the hell out of here, Austin. Like, come on, man. Like, guys play. You know how much football the guy has played? It's not like he hasn't been practicing. It's not like he wasn't in the joint practice. Like, he doesn't need to play in a preseason game. All you're doing is asking, inviting risk. It's not that hard to figure out. It's really not. Those guys shouldn't play, especially the guys who have played a lot of football. I mean, if you're an all-pro and you're Jalen Ramsey and you step foot, you know, the first day in training camp, and you're already moving around doing the things that you do, and they're letting you do what you need to do and how, what made you a great football player, what do you need to play in the preseason for? The preseason is for the young guys to see, and the bubble guys to see if they can make the roster. See what those guys can do. How can we complete this whole entire roster? Who could we find to add to our team for 2025 to make our team the best team? That's what the preseason's really for. Well, some other teams take different approaches. I mean, obviously you saw Joe Burrow in there on Monday, taking sacks, putting himself at risk. You want that for Aaron Rodgers? Really? You want that for some of the other guys that don't really need to play, you know, Jalen Ramsey, who's basically Aaron Rodgers of the defense? No. Against the Carolina Panthers? Give me a break. Those guys, I guarantee, won't play. The names that came in, the names that were brought in that are new, won't play. Now, I could maybe see Jalen Warren get some touches because the run game has been stale throughout the preseason. It's his first year as the bell cow, as the starter. Maybe he needs touches. And only way that any of those guys would ever play that I just named is if it was up to them. If Mike Tomlin sat down and had a conversation with them, was like, how many reps do you need for yourself to get ready? If Jalen Ramsey or Darius Slay said that they needed 10 reps, Mike Tomlin would be like, okay. If they said they need zero, he'd be like, okay. There's this notion now that Aaron Rodgers is the one dictating everything. I don't need to play in the preseason. You know, this is my show. I come here. You know, I told you this. This is a part of my deal. I don't play in the preseason. I highly doubt that. I think it's really that cut and dry. Everybody's looking into this situation with Aaron Rodgers not playing a preseason game, saying that Aaron Rodgers is a dictator here and telling Mike Tomlin what to do. It's not that deep. It's that he's 41 years old and he's played 1,000 football games in his damn life. He doesn't need to go in there against the backups of the Carolina Panthers. He doesn't need to go in there against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they had a joint practice. He doesn't need to go in there against the Jacksonville Jaguars. It means nothing for Aaron Rodgers. He will gain absolutely nothing. The team will gain absolutely nothing. You know what you're getting out of Aaron Rodgers. You see him every day. The only team, the only players that should play, that will play during the season, that should play in this football game, is the offensive line. That's your biggest question mark, right? One of my biggest question marks is running back. But for as a whole of the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you're assessing them and you're evaluating them going into the season, and you have been throughout training camp, the biggest question mark is how can we get this offensive line to play up to par? It is the only unit that has to really work together on the football field. They need to play in this game. Project Jones needs to play in this game. I wouldn't mind seeing Sam Allen in this game because he has to work next to Project Jones, has to work next to Zach Frazier. Mason McCormick, Troy Faltanu, I would have that unit play maybe two series because they still have some stuff to iron out. Like, I totally get that. If they have a decent year this year, the offensive line, I'm saying, and the Steelers win a playoff game, I guarantee the offensive line won't play in next year's preseason games. But they are the biggest unknown, which makes a lot of sense. Everybody else is known. You know what everybody else can do. That's why I put aside Jaylen Warren a little bit. You don't know if he could be the bell cow, but you're not going to find that out against the Carolina Panthers backups. You're not. You know what DK Metcalf can do. You know what Aaron Rodgers can do. You know what Jonnu Smith can do. You know what Jalen Ramsey can do. And you know what Darius Slay can do. They do not need to play in this game. Enough is enough. Like, it's really not rocket science here. It's not rocket science at all. So the offensive line, yes, I do believe they should play in this football game. You're going to maybe see Mason Rudolph a little bit. You're going to see a lot of Skylar Thompson, and you're going to see some of Logan Woodside at quarterback. But other than that, get ready to see what you basically saw in the players you saw in the last game. Caleb Johnson needs to – I'd play him majority of this football game. Majority of this football game. Not a half. I'd probably play him like three quarters, honestly. To see what he can do, to see how he can last in a football game. Get him some confidence rolling into the season. You may need him at some point. I mean, injuries are crazy at running back. Injuries are crazy in the NFL. You need to get him up to speed quick. Because sometimes it seems like the game is way too fast for him. And I tell you what, it's going to get 1,000 times faster whenever they play the Jets. 1,000. So that's a guy that I would absolutely give a lot of touches to. Derek Harmon, I think maybe 10 reps again. Kind of know what he can do. He's your first round pick. I mean, obviously Jack Sawyer, yes, a lot. Cole Holcomb, a lot. He needs it because he's coming off an injury. But guys, come on. Mike Tomlin just wants these guys to get ready and simulate like they are playing and getting ready for a regular season game. But they are not going to play in this football game. Now call me out, though. If everybody plays except for the guys he named, then call me out. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm an idiot. But trust me, I don't think that that's the case. I don't think that's the case. It doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense. All right, coming up next. Man, I watched something yesterday. In the day before, I finished it yesterday. It was unbelievable. I have to talk about it. I have to talk about it. It got me going. It got me ready for football season. It just is, and it brought me back and gave me so much nostalgia. It was unbelievable. We'll talk about that next. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Dickerson, Callis here with you. Fan Morning Show. Crowley is out today. He'll be back tomorrow. Pat Bostick joins us in about 15 minutes. The 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Man, I watched America's Team of the Dallas Cowboys on Netflix yesterday and the day before. Finished it yesterday. It was unbelievable. You tend to forget like some of the things that had happened with the Dallas Cowboys in the 90s. And then you learn some things about Jerry Jones. And I will have to say, whenever these documentaries do come out, I would watch them if you're a sports fan, because it just brings you, and I don't even know how they got all this footage usually. I mean, it brings you inside and you kind of learn about every individual that you kind of grew up, at least myself, grew up watching and liking, like the Michael Irvins and the Troy Aikmans, Emmitt Smith. I mean, those guys were unbelievable. Growing up, you're a kid, you're watching football, you like the names, you want to get the jerseys, you want to get a Dallas Cowboy jersey because you're hearing about the Dallas Cowboys and they're like the Chicago Bulls of football in the 90s. But you really don't understand, you know, the in-depth things that had gone on at my age, at my young, what, 6, 7, 8 years old, at my age at the time, you know, what happened and some of the things that in adversity that they had to go through. Those individual players and the Cowboys and Jerry Jones. And it's really up there with The Last Dance. I will say that. I don't know if it's as good as The Last Dance for those of you that have seen that with the Chicago Bulls, but it's up there, man. I mean, they nailed it. They really nailed it. During that era, I mean, there was nobody better than the Dallas Cowboys. They absolutely just, it was a very good, very well put together documentary. Former head coach Dave Wannstedt was in it talking about, you know, being on Jimmy Johnson's staff and Jimmy Johnson. Totally forgot Jimmy Johnson and that whole situation. Then you bring in Barry Switzer and I was just locked and glued in. So I would give you some advice, and if you have some downtime, go watch that on Netflix, America's Team, with Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, how he acquired the Dallas Cowboys and just, you know, his just forefronting, I guess, mentality. You know, he really made the NFL, or was a huge part of making what the NFL is today. Jerry Jones was. Never been a huge Jerry Jones fan, but I came out of that liking Jerry Jones and respecting Jerry Jones a whole hell of a lot more. I know that. Man, some of the stuff he did. Man. NFL would still be doing very well today. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think that they would be this powerhouse that they are in American sports if it wasn't for what Jerry Jones did at some points of those 90s years with the Dallas Cowboys. Just really just did his own thing and, you know, had a very creative mentality, and now here we are. Pretty fantastic stuff. All right, coming up next, Pat Bostic. He will join us. This is a very, I won't say uneasy, but it's a very wondering time of year. It's a very wondering time of year, like wondering what's going to happen, wondering how things are going to happen, wondering which direction you will go as a football player and how it will end, how it will start. There's so many things that are going through your mind as a football player right now, this time of year, for all levels, for high school, for college, and for pro. And I want to get Pat's thoughts on that. He'll be very good about that because he went through it. We all went through it that had played, and it is a very unique time of year right now. We'll get his thoughts on that. But first, Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.